first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 45. Genesis chapter 45, we'll read verses 1 through 9 this morning responsively. I'll read verse number 1, you'll join me on verse number 2, all the way through verse number 9. Genesis chapter 45, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.' And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Read with me verse number 9. "Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, and tarry not." And let's pray.
Father, I pray that you'd be with us this morning. Lord, I stand before you needy as a sinner. Each and every one of us are sinners. Lord, we need the truth that you have through your man of God today. I pray that you'd fill Brother Jackson with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Lord, he could be filled with the Spirit, but if we're not listening in the Spirit, we'll miss what you have. So may we yield our minds, our hearts, and our lives to the preaching of the Word of God. Change our lives. Lord, would you not just change our life, but would you change eternity because of what takes place today? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. It is my honor to introduce to you today Evangelist Jamie Jackson. I met him as a tall, skinny drink of water when he was a teenager in Charleston, South Carolina. I know Jamie's mama and daddy. Brother Jackson, my church folks don't know that they know this. Remember when your grandmother passed away? I've told that story about being at that church at that funeral. It's the only black church my wife's ever been in. And it was an experience for her, let me tell you. She's as white as the snow, trust me. It was a cultural experience for her. But Miss Mabel and Jamie's dad are just... his dad may be one of the hardest working men I've ever met in my life. Just an amazing fella. I just found out last night. He's had lung cancer and been taking chemo treatments. They took 3 or 4 chunks of lungs out, and he worked through the whole thing. He shouldn't have, but he did. And just a good, salt-of-the-earth, hard-working man, instilled character into his 2 boys. Just good people. I watched Brother Jackson as a teenager. He's lived for God as a teenager. Now, he was ornery, trust me. I'd take him on trips, and he'd sit in the back of the bus and do his monkey face, and people were almost wrecking their cars, you know. He's sitting in the back of the bus going like this. People are pulling up. He's crazy as an idiot. I mean, he is. He's just like the rest of us. And he went to Bible college and became a preacher, and he has been traveling the country, living by faith. And here's a young man that I am very proud of. Brother Hiles used to say in his older years that he got to go around the country preaching for his preacher boys, clipping coupons. Today's coupon clipping day for me. You go back 25, 27 years, and then you see what takes place a quarter century later. You know, you don't always see immediate results, but knowing you had just a little part in it sure does make it all worthwhile. I didn't have him here for that. I had him here because he's a man of God, and I want him to preach a snot out of it. And I'm excited about it. I want you to listen to him. He has something to say, and he's urgent about it, and we owe it to him to listen. My dear friend and a dear, 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 sweet young man that I'm very, very proud of, Brother Jamie Jackson.
What a privilege it is to be here. Privilege it is to see my it's just a privilege. Thank you for taking care of my friend. I'm sorry. Now I know what these thank yous are for.
They're not for show, they're for flow.
We've had some good times. Amen. We've had some great times. Thank you for, like I said, taking care of family. As I travel around the United States, I'm worried more and more about Old Glory.
That's right.
But there's still hope.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's still a God. He's still real.
Yes.
Tonight I'm not going to give you any, or today, I'm not going to give you anything new. By the way, if somebody does come up here and say they have something new for you, run.
Yes.
But I can sure tell you this. As I was reading my Bible, God gave me this. I just want to be faithful to give it to you. By all means, thank you for being a very friendly church. All the handshaking and everything. I mean, if that doesn't make you feel at home, the jacuzzi tub will definitely make you feel at home. Woo! Woo! Mr. Bubbles, Mr. Bubbles. Yeah.
It's 88 degrees.
Yeah. Got excited. What a way to make me feel at home, the warm.
You can actually get your feet in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, of course, I wish you could have heard the conversation of how proud Pastor is of you. And there's even one time where he said something wasn't necessarily directed to you, but it was directed to me. He said, Brother, have you ever walked with heels on before?
Cowboy boots, amen.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think I've ever been asked that question before.
He did not say high heels.
Yes, he did not say high heels, but that's what I was thinking. Like, I'm not sure how y'all do things in West Virginia. But
only 1 foot needs
them. Yes. Yes. But this is my first time with cowboy boots on, and I did hear the cheers that would come from here, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be several cheers coming from further north, shall I say, out west, because they definitely have been trying to get me into boots, and I just have told them over and over and over, I am not a boots man. But our Lord has a sense of humor, and He was like, you may not be smart enough to get in a pair of boots, but you will today. And,
praise the Lord. Man.
Oftentimes when we read our Bibles, if we're not careful, we would think it's for the other person.
Yes.
Oftentimes it is said that the Bible is simply a mirror. That's why a lot of people don't get into it. Because it shows us who we really are. A lot of times when we even hear the stories and read the stories, we think almost like a fictional character, how he went through these things, but we never, ever sometimes realize that that person is just as real as you.
Yes,
and as real as I am today. Joseph, when we look at his life, boy, we realize that he had everything at this point. Realize not only did he had everything, he was second in charge, wanted nothing. Not only did he want for nothing, but even before that, he was known of a dreamer. Boy, I can only imagine, even in his wildest dreams, he never could imagine that he ever would be at this particular time in this particular place. But why, oh why, do we come to verse 2 and we find a man that's on top of the world, as we would call on top of the world. Literally in verse 2, we read there and it says, and he wept aloud.
Yes.
Not only did he weep aloud, but I literally could imagine he wept to the point where people throughout the palace there could hear him weeping aloud. They'd probably never heard that up until this point. They'd probably always seen somebody who was a leader by following, who was somebody that met their needs, but now all of a sudden, this particular individual is crying out aloud. But I imagine it would probably, they would first begin to wonder if it was, if he was crying because he was so angry, or he was crying because he was hurt so bad within. Oftentimes when I think of this, and even with a crowd like this, oftentimes I'm reminded how many times we cry aloud.
Right.
Oh, it doesn't start out in public. But sometimes when we get hurt, unjustifiably hurt, sometimes it just comes by living this thing that we have called life. And we're hurt. And man, we have to run to a dark place or run to a place where we're by ourselves and shed tears that we never ever thought that we would show.
That's right.
Then all of a sudden, it would eventually get to the point where it begins to bubble over. And now we can't help it. And we're actually in front of people. And now all of a sudden it's coming out. And we're so emotional. Well, I remember as a young one, we were in a church service. And when we're in a church service, I remember them talking about the, there was a song that was called Thank You. And it was written by a guy that was actually in the church that we were in. And he had a dream. And he's like, preacher, I woke up. And when I rolled up, I wrote the song. And he's like, I stayed up most of the day. And he sung it for the preacher. And the preacher said, you've got to sing that for the people. So everybody stayed after church. And he sung that song. And I remember everybody in the church crying and crying. Of course, like I said, I was very small. And I was like, Mom, why is everybody crying? You know, out loud, just like this. And she's like, it didn't hit me until years later why they cried. It didn't hit me until sometime later. It is said that oftentimes, thank God, this book is alive.
Yes.
How many times have we read through the Bible or we've read a scripture and all of a sudden that one time that we read it gives us a total different look or insight. That's what happened to me here. I'm not going to tell you about everything that Joseph did in his life, even though we will visit some. But the one thing that we're going to wrap this up with when we finish is the reason why he cried aloud. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I feel that we're a nation that's crying aloud. Lord God, if you tarry, some people have to stand in the gap. Some people have to be faithful, like you were faithful to die for us on the cross. Lord God, I'm being faithful now. Lord God, I'm giving a message that you gave me. Not to tickle the ears, Lord God, but to help. Lord God, please help me to be a help in this time, such a time as this. Please help us to be faithful when it's all said and done. We walk out of those doors. We all can look up to you and say, Lord God, thank you. And Lord God, thank you for helping me. And let us all be found faithful during that time. Lord God, I love you. Please help, Holy Spirit, as only you can. Amen. Like I said before, Joseph was the dreamer. Can you imagine just like back in those days? I'll stay here. I know I'm a roamer. I am not one to stay behind the pulpit here. I know we have a 3-second delay because I was informed of that. All right, Joseph. He was a dreamer. But just like you and me, we all have dreams. But oftentimes there are individuals who squash those dreams. During this time, we find that the ones that squash his dreams aren't people outside of his household. It's literally his family.
That's right.
It's his brothers. Not only do they squash his dreams and laugh at him, but we find them literally to the point where it's starting to bubble over what's on the inside. And now we find him serving his dad, just wanting to be a blessing to his father and making a coat of many colors. And boy, giving that to his father, and of course his brothers become resentful for what has happened. They see the love that is there and they don't like it. And they become jealous and they act upon that. Can you imagine during that time being deceived not by the world, but by someone that's inside your own house? And not only being deceived by someone that's in your own house, now it's to a point where they call you to a place, put you in a pit, and you can now hear them talking about you and what they're going to do to you during that time. This isn't a fairy tale. This is a real story. Now, all of a sudden, you find yourself in a wagon being carried off as a slave by your family, by the people that you loved. You find yourself now, just because someone saw you and they saw that there was something different when you arrived there. Let it be said of you and me, when you walk into a place, they say that there's something different about you.
That's good.
All of a sudden, that puts him in a place that he can serve with the king. And now all of a sudden we find him there in a place that he once again thought that he never ever would be, as a slave in a foreign land. And now all of a sudden he is enticed by the one who's in charge, wife. He doesn't give in to the temptation. And she lies on him.
Yes.
And he finds himself now even in a darker place, talking about it going downhill very, very fast.
Yes.
And now he finds himself in a dark dungeon. I don't know about you, but if I'd have read this and I'd have found out that he got just a little bit bitter, I think I can understand. He probably got a little bit weary in well-doing, but I think I can understand if that's the way that it would have read out. But I don't see it reading out that way.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, because of him being a dreamer at one point in time, now we find Pharaoh dreaming himself. And he needs someone to interpret it, that dream. Well, I imagine he probably could have called on multiple people, but he knew there was someone who'd probably been there before and who would understand and wouldn't mock him for what was put in his head. And of course, because of that, we now find him years later being second in charge of everything that they had to offer there. Now that he's second in charge there, we find him several chapters before where his brothers have come to him. He recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And even speaks to them in the tongue of the land and basically chews them out, tells them to leave. And boy, he goes back, and that's when he cried to himself, "Lord, those were the guys who put me in the pit. Those were the guys who did all these different things." If he would have said that, and he'd been like, "Lord God, the next time they come in front of us, I'm really going to give it to them," we'd have understood. But that isn't exactly the way that the story comes unfold.
That's right.
All of a sudden, we see for the second time his brothers coming to him and begging him once again for help. And all of a sudden, what's inside begins to come outside. And when it becomes outside, now we literally find him where he's trying to separate everybody. He's trying to tell everybody to leave. And all of a sudden, he begins to cry. And it's to the point where he can't hold it in. And he's literally crying out loud to where they can hear him throughout the hallways. And I believe the reason why he cried out loud because it finally hit him. Or I could imagine when he was in that pit, in order for him not to get bitter, he had to practice this thing called forgiveness.
Yeah.
It is said it's easy to talk about it, but it's another thing to live it.
You're right. That's right. You're right.
Now we find him to the point where he believes in God. He's practiced that. He's been taught that. But now, the rubber's meeting the road. He's unjustly been treated in a way that nobody should be treated.
That's right.
And he has to practice forgiveness. He has to pray. He has to lift up thy voice to God himself. Oh, if he would have gotten angry, "Lord, why? I'm serving you. I'm doing what I'm supposed to," we'd have understood. But we find him at this particular point in time. If you go to chapter 45, will still be there. But verse 5, he says, "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry." That doesn't sound like somebody who's bitter.
That's right.
That doesn't sound like somebody who hasn't practiced forgiveness. Boy, if it was you or me, it'd be like, "You dirty, low-down scoundrel. All these times you left me. You never sought after me. You even told my father that I was dead." Payback time. Judgment day has arrived. Especially with a sibling, you're like, "Oh yeah, dad's not here to stop me now." It's coming. of a sudden, what he was taught, practiced.
Yes, sir.
And when he practiced by praying, he didn't know that he would ever be here. He didn't know that he would ever get to this place, but he had to be faithful.
Yes, sir.
Lord God, I'm going to trust you. Lord God, I'm in this pit. Lord God, I can hear them talking about me. Lord God, I can hear them talking about selling me as a slave. Lord God, now I'm a slave. Lord God, not only am I a slave, Lord God, I'm working in a foreign land for somebody who doesn't even like my people. And now all of a sudden, Lord God, I'm being blamed for something that I didn't do. Lord God, this isn't right. Lord God, oh, but I can only imagine during that time, he probably prayed, Lord God, please. Lord God, forgive him. Lord God, please just help him. Lord, I wonder how many times he prayed for God to still bless and to be with his dad. I wonder how many times his dad went through his mind. I wonder how many times, even though they didn't deserve it, he prayed for his brothers.
Yes.
He prayed for God to change their mind. He prayed for forgiveness.
Yes.
Just like we've been taught. Do you realize forgiveness is not for that individual person?
That's right.
Forgiveness is for you.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Forgiveness is for me. You say, well, they don't deserve it. They may not. But I want nothing to be between me and my Heavenly Father.
Amen. Well, that's good.
To where when I do pray, I know that he hears those prayers.
Yes.
During this time, I can only imagine this young man, when his brothers come up to him the second time, he's like, Lord, and then all of a sudden it hits him. And then we read in verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you. Then in verse 8. And now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh. Well, I believe as he was explaining to his brothers, he said, you don't understand the way my God works.
Amen.
He's like, when I was just a little lad, I always prayed, Lord God, please help my family. Lord God, please take care of my family. Lord God, please meet my family needs. And he's like, little did I know my Heavenly Father loved me enough to put me in this situation and then allow me to be in this situation and allow me to be in this situation to when it was all said and done, I was at a place to where I could be a help to my family.
Yes,
that were going through 2 years of starvation in this land.
Yeah. That's right.
Never ever question our Lord.
Yes.
It is often said if we're not living by faith, boy, Lord, I can even quote the scripture, whatsoever is not done by faith, boy, you can fill it in there. Oftentimes, it's one thing to say, well, I want to be a person of faith, but it's another thing to be faithful in that task.
That's right.
Hey, I know today that I'm speaking to ones who have trials and tribulations. Some people, I can only imagine the price of bereavement and what that brings upon you. And I can only imagine all the heartache that is in this room. But I can tell you this. My God is not only big enough, he is faithful enough to hear your prayers.
Yes.
And he has something for you. We just have to remain faithful. Through the good times,
yes,
remain faithful.
Yes,
through the
sir.
Bad times, remain faithful. Yes. Hey, I wish I could have given you something that had you up and down and shouting and saying amen and walking out here, but I have to be faithful to my Heavenly Father.
Yes,
just like you are faithful to yours. Hey, I'm not sure what you're going through. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, but I'm here to tell you God has a plan for your life. Be faithful. Don't mess it up. Oftentimes, we're the ones who mess it up, and we blame it on the devil, and we give him all this power over us, but oftentimes, it's not the devil who allows us to slip into different things. It's us.
That's right.
Simply not living by faith.
That's right.
Faith is something that if we practice it, it will help us. I can illustrate that, illustrate it this way. Let's say this banner that we have here, I have kept nothing back. Let's say this is now a timetable of our life. And the Lord God has us here. And he said, this heartache is going to come. This heartache is going to hurt. It's going to hurt to the point where literally you're going to run to oneself to be alone. And you're going to literally cry yourself to sleep one night because you're unjustly treated. But look here. Because of the way that you acted, there are some people at your job that saw you. Boy, they saw you go through that pain and agony. They knew you were a Christian. Not only did they know you were a Christian, they knew that you were a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. Boy, they saw you. They were like, hey, they walked the walk, but now, hey, or they talked the talk, but now can they walk the walk? And they see you remain faithful, and they see you not curse God. And all of a sudden, because of that, they got saved. And this person got saved. And all of a sudden, you begin. God shows you how that particular thing is going to affect this person and affect that person. And by the time you get to this point, you're like, my heavenly Father would use me in such a great way like that. Hey, I'll go through that trial. I'll go through that tribulation. Hey, that would be worth it. But if it would be worth it like that, it wouldn't be a faith.
That's right.
And our Lord God is just saying, just trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. He said, hey, if I died on the cross, and that's all I did, that would be an amazing gift. But he said, oh, that is just the beginning, my friend. That is just the beginning. He's like, now that you are a child of God, how much more does our Heavenly Father have for you and have for me? But we got to remain faithful. We got to remain faithful. I love that Dr. Lee Robertson, where he said it takes three to thrive. Hey, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know what the devil wants more than anything? To stop you from going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Oftentimes, those times where it seems like there's no way that we can make it. I'm tired. Oh, it's been a crazy day. Those times when we walk into the church house, oh, it seems like God's man opens the Bible and he gives us exactly what we need. Oftentimes, I wonder how many times, oh, when we do talk about, oh, Lucifer, oh, the devil himself, well, I wonder how many times does he preach, he look over the pastor's shoulder and he sees the pastor working on a sermon and he said, hey, that's actually going to help so-and-so. That's actually going to get so-and-so out of this grumpy mood. Oh, we can't have that. Hey, we got him down. We got him down and we got him down for the count. Hey, let's make them to where they're tired. Let's make them to where they won't be faithful. And all of a sudden, we find them at a place that they never thought they would be, out of church. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him.
That's right.
Impossible to please him. You can give all the money in the world. You can be the best giver. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. By the way, sometimes when that plate goes by, oh, can I tell you a little secret? We're all family here. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, I've heard that I can't outgive you. So, Lord God, I'm just going to put a little bit extra in and just seize what happened. Boy, he talked about when it came to my father. I remember one time we had an offering, and it was for a special purpose, and it was a give it all offering. And I remember my mom and dad being home, and my dad said, I'm going to give my whole paycheck. And of course, you could imagine my mom wasn't exactly the most behind that particular method, because they didn't say that you had to give your whole paycheck. It was just a matter of what you could give, give it all. Don't hold back. Hey, I kept nothing back. All of a sudden, my dad said, I'm going to give my whole paycheck. My mom said, I don't think that's very wise. She's like, you can give some, but my dad said, I feel that I need to give the whole paycheck. And boy, of course, they sent us away and, you know, turned up the TV or did whatever they did to distract us. And I remember that Sunday, offering plate came by. And I remember my dad pulling out the check. My mom was just like, okay. And dropped it in. Then it went through. Back in those days, the mail didn't run on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Mail ran on Saturday. And I remember my dad after church just happened to go in the mailbox and opened it up, and he had a few different letters in there and him coming back. And I remember we were all in the house, and I remember him start laughing. And he was like, honey, come here. You're not going to believe what I have here. And all of a sudden, it said, he began to read it out loud. Mr. Jackson, we are so sorry to inform you that we overcharged you. And this was an insurance company. We all know insurance companies don't really give them money. And now all of a sudden, the insurance company is saying that we overcharged you this amount, and it was the exact amount that was for his paycheck. You say, wow, what a coincidence. I say, wow, what a God.
Amen.
But he wouldn't have received that blessing, that little nugget, I believe, if he wasn't faithful,
yes,
in what God had told him to do. Oftentimes, you in my life, only thing God tells us to do is to be faithful.
Yes.
He's like, hey, on a daily basis, why don't you talk with me? Why don't you talk with me and tell me your needs? Oh, you can't find any other God that wants to hear your needs, that wants literally his children to talk to him so he can meet your needs. Oftentimes, as a parent, you know your needs of your kids. Oftentimes, you're like, oh, I know that they need this. But sometimes, there's nothing like your little daughter. And you're like, Daddy, I need this. Are your muscles growing? You're like, yes, they are, dear. Absolutely. Well, you just want them to suck up a little bit. I tell you. I wonder how much more, since we're made in the image of our Heavenly Father,
yes,
when we get down on our knees and we just say, Lord God, I'm not worthy. Lord God, I have these bills in front of me. There is no way that I can come up with this. But Lord God, you can. Lord God, I'm going to trust you. Oftentimes it is said, brother, there is no way in the world that I could live if I gave my tithe. Oftentimes I tell people, first of all, you're looking at it wrong. The tithe is the first thing.
Yes.
Then everything else comes out. But oftentimes, just like you and I had to practice, well, Lord, if that's what you say, I'm going to do it with a smile. On my faith. But I couldn't tell you how in college I paid my bills, but then I paid over $100,000 in medical bills. I didn't even make that type of money, if you get my drift. Because I had two heart surgeries,
right,
heart ablation surgeries. I have two metal rods in my tibias. I've had two blood clots in my lungs. There were times where I was like, hey, Lord, I'm not questioning you, but Lord God, I'm scared. Well, with the heart thing, I remember the heart doctor meeting with me, and he was like, I do not want you to run, jump. He's like, you say you're a Christian? Yes, sir. He's like, I am too. He was like, Did your preacher get with it a little bit? I was like, yes, sir. He's like, you can't be under that. He's like, you're in school, correct? Yes, sir. He's like, you can't take a test.
You're talking.
Really? He said, nothing to cause your heart rate to spike. I had WPW. During that surgery, shot me with adrenaline. My heart was beating over 360 beats per minute. During that time, there was often times where I would tell them, look, I can hear my heartbeat in my head. Of course, they're like, mm-hmm. Sure. But even during those times, he was like, if you get into an abnormal arrhythmia, it could kill you. I was like, you have my attention. And even during those health things, I never questioned God, but I always wondered, like, Lord, why? What's the reasoning for this? And now as I travel, I meet dear people who have other health problems. And I can sit down and be like, I don't know your exact situation, but I've been there too.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you about the great physician. Hey. And I can help people that were just like me. I didn't know what the timeline, what God was doing there. I didn't know that I was going to be an evangelist. If you had told me that when I was a teenager, you kidding me? Does it come with a ball in a hoop?
Yeah, it does.
Well, I remember talking to other teenagers, and I was like, full-time Christian? And that's boring. That's what I said. That's a boring life. Being a preacher, you know, you're always being in the scripture. And I was thinking more of the monk lifestyle, but I can tell you this is the funnest time I've ever had.
Yes, sir.
It's good.
Serving him.
Yes, sir.
Meeting other people that served him.
Yes, sir.
This isn't a dynamic sermon by any means. This isn't something that I believe that you're probably going to walk away and be like, woo, fired up. But there's something when I was going through my Bible, the Lord God spoke to me. And he said, you need to write this down because this may be a help to someone else. Oftentimes we speak of praying, and yes, we should pray, and yes, we should go to the Heavenly Father, and yes, we should practice this thing of forgiveness. And if there's someone here who needs to practice this thing of forgiveness, I beg you to do it.
Yes.
There's no more freeing thing than to forgive somebody of forgiveness. I think
Yes. We
all can tell from today's time of turning on the TV and seeing the riots and everything, and we think, how crazy could one be to think and to do this? Well, when you're away from God, we all see what happens.
Yes.
There's multiple cities that I see when I turned on the TV and I see them rioting and acting crazy. I was like, Lord, I remember when there was a church in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Remember a church that was faithful in that area.
Right.
I remember when there was a church that was running buses or vans or picking up people. I wonder, during that time with that church, they ever heard of someone who forgave them of their sins.
Yes.
Therefore, they can pass it on and forgive someone else of their sins.
Oh, wow.
I was like, Lord. And I looked up those one or two churches. Now they had the rock bands and
Yes. As
crazy as could be. I was like, Lord, no wonder we're in the mess that we're in.
That's right.
Because we haven't been faithful. Even in the area of being faithful, in the areas of forgiveness. Let it be said of this church. This is a church that is not only faithful, this is a church that practices forgiveness.
Amen.
Church should be the lighthouse to the community.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
When you're hurting.
That's right.
When you have heartache.
Yes.
And you don't know where to go. you know that you can come to the church.
Amen.
Right on top of the hill. Right in this area. That will love on you just a little bit.
Yes, sir.
That will help you during that time of need. That will just be a church that practices forgiveness. Oftentimes we have people that come in and they're hurting, but they've done wrong. And we look at them and mock them because they're not like us. But oftentimes we forget that we were just like them.
That's right.
Amen.
Hurting.
Yep.
Needed someone just to love us.
Yes, sir.
Someone just to tell us about our Heavenly Father, who's the greatest gift that we could ever, ever hear.
Yes.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden we heard that. And boy, that was something that literally we could take with us for the rest of our life.
Amen.
Let it be said of you that you never gave up on God.
Yes.
Because God never, ever, will ever, 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 ever. And I notice he likes English, and this is my way of getting him back. Ever, 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 ever. Fail you.
Right, man.
He will always be faithful.
Yes.
But it's oftentimes it's us who steps back.
Yeah.
And who's not faithful. That's why in this area of forgiveness, if we don't forgive, bitterness will set in.
Yes.
Blood pressures will go up. Now it's to the point where even the medical field is screaming. Someone comes in, and boy, they are not doing well. They will suggest that they seek alternative measures. You need to go see somebody. You need to talk to somebody. You need to get that settled so it doesn't kill you.
That's right.
May not kill you physically, but it will kill you spiritually.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
You wonder how so-and-so can be so faithful to God and faithful in church, and all of a sudden you see them on the street and they're just as bitter and just as cold as which you have never seen them before.
Yes.
Forgiveness. Oftentimes we're like, well, I'll forgive everybody else, but I'm not going to forgive that one person. Maybe you're the reason why God wants me to preach this message. Because God wants nothing between you and Him.
That's right.
And maybe this is the one thing that always comes up, but you always resist. Man, let's be faithful to the day that God comes back. There's nothing else better than hearing, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Like your wife being like, "Honey, I'm so proud of you." Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But how much more the one who died and the one who literally, the Bible said, had us on his mind when he willfully spread out his hands and his feet. Even when all those angels were there ready to take care of business. You want to talk about special forces? I imagine they were coming through like, "Blink right, Jesus," and we're clearing the room. But yet he did nothing. And he did it all for you and for me.
Thank you.
So then he asked in return, that we just live for Him. Practice the Great Commission. We go out there to a lost and dying world, and we be that lighthouse. And then we find someone else after we get one person. There is no better feeling than knocking on that door, talking to someone. Can I tell you this? A little secret that we used to have. Our youth director, he finally got to the point where we couldn't go to this lady's house anymore. Because she was like practicing like witchcraft. I don't know, you remember that? So we always would go there and be like, because she would open the door and we'd be like, "Oh, do you know Jesus?" And she's like, "I know someone." We're like, "Ooh." But then he explained to us, he's like, do you know why she's talking to you?
Why?
So you won't talk to someone else. And then, so why don't you go talk to someone else that will listen? And then we go and talk to someone else after we just got chewed out. We'd knock on the door. And we'd have somebody that would come, and some people, they come, what? And you're like, hey. Well, at that time, we were a teenager, so we'd be like, hi, I'm a... I remember one time when the door answered, I was like, well, this, I don't think he ever heard this story. It was a lady there, and I was like, whew. And my partner that I had, he was like, do I need to find Brother Bush right now to perform a wedding? We walked away from that door. He was like, brother, that had to have been of God. And I was like, yeah, wasn't she beautiful? He's like, no. He was like, you should have heard yourself going through the scripture. He's like, there is no way anybody on earth should have understood what you said. He's like, but she did. He's like, you saw those tears when she was praying? I was like, no, because I had my eyes closed. Unlike some people. He's like, well, she was crying during her prayers because you changed her life. And he was like, well, God allowed you to change her life. There's no greater feeling than that. We got to be faithful. Even during those times when we're like, Lord, that person's big. That person's mean. I'll tell you this and we're done. At the college, we had a rule. It was this. If you're on time, you're late. And boy, that hurt some people. But I was going to a church like this, so that wasn't even a big deal to me. I'm like, I like being early. So all of a sudden, we're in a staff meeting. President of the college comes walking in, and he said, he's like, I know I'm late, but I don't apologize for it. And we're like, well, that just got awkward. You can't tell your boss, like, hey, did you hear those famous words that our president used to be very famous for? You're fired. And then, so you're just like, okay. And he's like, let me explain. He said, I was on my way here. He's like, I knew that to get from this place to this place, going this recommended speed, I would make it on time. I think you get my drift. He said, so I was going a little bit further, a little bit faster than the recommended speed that was posted on the signs that we have called the speed limit. So he said, all of a sudden, came to a red light. He's like, I'm like, like as soon as it turns green, I gotta go. I gotta be there. He said, and he looked to the right and he saw a young man at a bus stop. He said, the Holy Spirit said, you need to talk to him. And he's like, not today. He's like, no, you need to go talk to him. He said, there's no way. Like, Lord, I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late. You know what we practice. He's like, I'm going to be late. Oh, look, it's green. He said, he immediately took off. And he said, he took off. And then the Holy Spirit was like, oh, so I guess your people, you can tell your people to listen to me, but you don't have to. Said he's like, said he whipped his SUV around, middle of the road. He comes back. He said he didn't realize how it looked. All of a sudden, here's this Suburban come pulling up right beside him. Guy gets out. He's got suit, with dark glasses on. And he said, all of a sudden, the guy at the bus stop was like, he's like, no. He's like, I'm sorry. He's like, I'm a pastor. Then the guy stopped, came back to him. He said, the Lord wanted me to ask you this question. He's like, if something were to happen to you, do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? He said, the guy stepped back. He's like, oh boy, you know, here's some guy, what kind of nut are you? You know, going back and forth. And the guy was like, who sent you? God? He's like, no, seriously, like who sent you? He said, what do you mean? He's like, I told God this morning that if he didn't show me that he was real, as soon as I got off from work, I was going to kill myself. He said, I'm on my way home. Pastor said, God sent me, and he is real, and he showed me out of the scripture. And he said that young man got saved, and he was in church that next Sunday. He's now in college now. But what would have happened to that young man if someone didn't listen to the Holy Spirit?
That's right.
But I'm late. Talk to him. Be faithful to me. Be faithful to me. Be faithful to me. We will get in a message on Wednesday talking a little bit about that particular person that we talked to before that I mentioned there. But let's all be faithful. The Bible is not a story, not a book of made up individuals. They're all real.
Yes.
The places are real.
Yes.
Let it become real to you and to me.
Yes.
Let us be found faithful in the book.
Hey.
Every single day. If your Bible could talk, what would it say?
Right.
Would it say, I'm lonely? Would it say, oh, I see you every now and then? Wives, how would that work if your husband only talked to you when he needed something? How would that work if you only open or seeing your particular loved one whenever you just happen to walk by them and you just happen to be going to this place called church, then you'd pick it up and love on it because then you know everybody else is going to have it too. We often laugh at those couples when they get out of the car or during the car, they're like, I can't believe you and a bar would do that. I can't believe you. I just hate you. Hey, Pastor, how's it going?
Bless the Lord. It's a good day, isn't it, honey? Tell you what, man. This is a good old time, man. Come on in.
Well, we laugh at those people. But oftentimes, we're not careful. We're the same way with God.
Yes.
When we leave, all right, glad I got that out of the way. Here we go. Doing whatever. And a guy, he said, I know, I'm a Baptist preacher. I said, the last one. Well, this is the last one for sure. Had a guy, I worked with him. He said, you know the difference between me and you being a Baptist? He's like, and I'm Catholic. I was like, what's that? That I can do whatever I want and just go to the priest. And he... and then I can walk and I can do it again. I was like, you know the difference between me and you? I was like, I don't have to go to a priest. I can go straight to my God. And by the time I'm done with it, I don't want to do it again.
That's good.
I was like, that's the difference. He was like, why? Because he doesn't read the Bible. And I do. I challenge you to do the same. Boy, next time God gives me an opportunity to come back, man, I see this thing grow more. Why? Because we're just being faithful.
Yeah, that's good.
Man, what's different about that church? We just love on God. We love on each other. We're all God's family. And look how he's growing it and growing. God's not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
So I think he'll help us. I think he'll be there with us. Let's just be found faithful in our area. Simple message, simple truth, but it can change one's outlook and one's life if we apply it to us.
Yes, sir.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this church. Lord God, we thank you for the pastor. We thank you for even Mr. Joshua. Lord God, we thank you for the people here. Lord God, we thank you for the Bible.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, you talked about, in the Bible, talked about being faithful. Not only that, you talked about forgiveness. Lord God, sometimes in life, one of the hardest things to do is to forgive when one is undeserving. But we were reminded of how you forgave us of our sins, one who was undeserving. I wonder in this room who would say, this area of forgiveness, boy, it kind of hit me right upside the head. I don't know about you, but I like people that pray for me. I like people that lift me up to God. I want to pray for you as people pray for me. Is there anybody here that would say, hey, can you pray for me? I do have some things that I need to get right, whether it's today or whenever it is. I need to do this. I need to do it now. I need to do it today. Will you please just pray for me? Will you raise your hand? Oh, there's several. Oh, so God bless you. You can put it down. Well, I imagine in a crowd like this, there's probably individuals where you've been hurt very deeply. Could have been something from your childhood. Could have been something even that happened today. And even during that time, you were relentless, or you were hesitant, shall I say, to raise your hand. I want to make sure that no man is left behind. Is there anybody else to say, I didn't raise it then, but I want to now? Oh, will you just raise it and put it back down? Oh, there's several more. God bless you. You can put it down. Oftentimes, we teach our kids obedience first. Let it be said of us the same way, obedience. We've raised our hands. We said that there is a problem. It is an issue. I challenge you to come to the spiritual doctor. They call him the great physician. He can do things and he can work out things and he can help your heart in ways that no man can. But oftentimes you have to step out by faith, which is stepping down those aisles when the piano begins to play, and be found faithful when you exit those doors because you did what the Holy Spirit set upon you. Sometimes in life, I've had things where, whether it was when I was in the youth group, where I had to pull my youth director aside and I had to get some personal counseling to help me. Maybe it was an area where it was every day I fought it and I fought it and I fought it, but there's nothing like somebody else right beside you being like, I'll help you. You take a step, I'll take a step. You take a step, I'll take a step. And they help you through that process. Sometimes in life, I would encourage you, like now, not only step out, but grab your pastor. Grab someone here and be like, I need help. Yes. I guarantee you they help you.
Yes.
that pray for you, that love on you. Lord, we all just have to be found faithful, even in this area of obeying God through the Holy Spirit when it comes to the altar call. And the second pastor is going to come. He's going to direct us. And then from there, it's up to you. Do you get victory over this, or do you allow it to keep creeping at your heart? Oh, I hope that you trust God and you just step out.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. It's the Holy Spirit working on your heart now. Don't resist. Last Sunday I preached on being filled with the Spirit. You push out the flesh so the Holy Spirit can come in. Now it's time to push the flesh out. In a moment the piano will begin to play. When it does, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if the Lord's been working on your heart, you come. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come. We'll take care of that today. Been saved and baptized by immersion, you like to join our church, you come. Hey, Grace Baptist Church, we're a hospital, not a museum. Then how about those of us that are here get the help we need? Help us to be well enough to help somebody else.